the Forge Bear proudly presents another entry into the Black Pearl series. She wailed into the wind. Crimson screams into a sandstorm, particles tearing at her flesh, her voice letting the pain out. Pain that had built up, pain that filled the limp body she carried into the desert. Part of her heart lay within her arms, no longer working. She felt her lungs running out. Sheer will would collapse them as she would not yield. Her rage, it poured forth onto the storm. And she hoped in hearing her, it would claim her as its own. She had no idea. Finally, her lungs would give no more. She went to gulp air, but sand took its place. Knees impacted the ground then, hands never letting go. She leaned into the white linen-wrapped body, driving ever harder into the linen. She drew breath and began tearing heaven apart once more. Soldiers fought soldiers in the streets of her home. Far off now, two flags waved by men with bloodthirst in their throats and fingers that squeezed death from a distance that betrayed their fear. Neither knew how to keep the people between them safe. She wondered if they even cared. A stray bullet had claimed the boy. Another bullet for another piece of her heart. They had taken her father, her mother, and her husband. Now they took her, Cheyenne. She suspected her heart had died when he went cold. It mattered so little then. She had wrapped him as the shells went off about her. Taking him up, she hoped she would be killed. Walking between the cowards who fought toward the desert. They left her unscathed. So now she would let the desert take her. Though she had assumed. Anyways. She had seen many sandstorms, but never from within. It stung and tore. Rending flesh raw, blinding her, making her fold atop her, Cheyenne. Hoping they would be buried here, together. For a moment, it felt as though the sand was piling atop her. And in the next, however, came the unexpected. Quiet. A quiet that lasted too long. Up she opened, coming to sit and finding in the opening of her eyes logic had ceased, as had the storm. Held in place by a single figure that stood 2 meters away. His skin was paler than the sand, his hair white and voluminous, his teeth perfect, his eyes bright blue. His suit was fine, his jewelry abundant, and his feet were bare upon the sands. Awful weather we're having, isn't it? He spoke perfect Farsi. Not a day for a pleasant stroll. Leave me here to die. She spat the words as a viper spits venom. I have nothing for which to carry on. Actually, I would say you do, Samira. The man stepped closer, but did not get too close. There is one thing you may yet live for, but you must choose. And what would that be? Samira alternated views from her broken boy to this oddity of a man. All that was built for me, for us, has been ground to dust. What chance is there? To grind those who did this to you into the dust. The man-like thing knelt with his hands on his thighs. You can act as the swift vengeance that reminds the world that the cycle needs to die a violent death, faces pushed down into the sand until they forget how to breathe, men left scattered for miles, four continents, all to remind though what it costs. How can you offer this? Samira did not understand, leaning closer to the being who sat with her amidst a sandstorm that had stopped dead around them. Are you a djinn or a devil, perhaps? You are Mikhail or one of his brethren? No, nothing like that. The man smiled. I'm simply one who was trapped here. Many, 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 many years ago, and hopes that this is helping you. I may earn in helping you the favor of my captors, and who knows, may be finally set free. Samira sat mere inches from the creature and felt around within herself for the correct response. She rooted around within herself for the options that sat before her. Die as she had intended and watch her line be wiped from the world. Or take up the offer of an unknown thing who could halt the storm on a whim and appear like he had opened a door within the storm and stepped through. Somewhere from within her, the feet of her rage thundered towards the forefront of her mind. Removed from self-preservation, she was willing to die. But with that lack of happy self came the furious Samira. That was the Samira who agreed. What must I do? Samira nodded and stared into the eyes of him who had sat before her, expecting a smile or trickery or illusion. Instead, she was met with gentle hands and a warm manner. His left hand fell upon the crown of her head, and then her chin. She should have been disgusted by a man touching her, but the touch was not that of a man, but of molten metal pouring into her skull for an all-encompassing instant. She reeled from the rush of engulfing heat, coming to her senses just long enough to see the being make her son's body vanish. His hands passed through the cloth Cheyenne had been wrapped in, and after it did, he twisted it elegantly and produced between his thumb and forefinger a small, smooth, black bead. "Swallow this," he said, holding the pearl between them. "Allow this to become part of you, and with it you shall allow no one to raise a hand against the innocent. You shall move by your own feet, but when sword is swung at you and you raise your hand to one who would kill, your flesh will not be your own, and neither will your strength. Both will be of me. Both shall be more than man remembers." "It shall be done," she nodded and took the pearl, swallowing it in an instant with a holding aloft of her head and a closing of her eyes. When her head returned to find him, there was nothing there. The storm had unfrozen, but she felt it less now. It was far away feeling, a gentle breeze as opposed to flesh tearing. She stood and began to walk back to her town, knowing her pace would be the same as it had been getting out here. But her actions, once there, would be revolutionary. The reports began as rumors. Rumors caught social media attention. Social media had eyes everywhere, which started to produce blurry pictures, 15-second grainy clips, and hype. Hashtag Unstoppable Woman started 2 days after Samira had emerged from the desert. In the first skirmish, 287 men were brutally injured. Every soldier that tried to fight her, no matter which side, found themselves beaten and battered within an inch of their lives. By day two, she had moved out of her hometown and was descended upon by reinforcements from both sides of the war. Artillery detonated and moved around her, ammunition impacted without so much as a ruffle of the fabric of her clothes. Drones bombed her to find her, quickly learning she could snatch the bombs out of the sky and hurl them back with deadly accuracy. By day three, she had cost the military budgets of several small countries, had injured so many soldiers, the military hospitals ran out of beds, and just kept walking. With each act of violence, her strength grew, and her skin grew more impervious. It was on day six when Samira had ended another conflict between two opposing armies, that she came face to face with an opponent she was unfamiliar with. Fame. A young man called to her as another held up a camera. "Who are you?" The two industrious youths ran recklessly amidst the war zone. "How are you doing this?" Samira turned methodically towards the two running towards her. Barely registering the DU penetrator that flattened against her back, she returned the favor in kind by picking up the now flattened penetrator round and throwing it like a discus back towards the tank it had been fired from. Her eyes returned to the young men, as theirs did not. Every question in the minds of those two men melted away in concert with the blood from their faces as they watched the woman casually decapitate a tank with its own ammunition. "I am the balancing of the scales, young ones," she yelled at them out of the corner of her mouth as she began to walk away. "Go back to your civilization and tell them for each life they sacrifice, it shall break 3 men in payment." "What war are you fighting?" The one with the microphone yelled at her from what he thought was a safe distance. "I'm not fighting any of them," she responded in a voice that was not her own, was her own, but was also his. A voice that resonated in a way that while not every human on the planet heard it, all felt it and collectively shivered in response. "I'm ending